الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام يبعث كل عبد على ما مات عليه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Respected ulama, elders, brothers, young friends, and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This life of ours is a temporary life. The everlasting life is the life hereafter. In reality, this life is no life in comparison to the life hereafter. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ. The second home, the life hereafter, is in reality the life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. There is a lot of emphasis in this verse. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ, the second home, that is the life hereafter. لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. In reality, that is the only life. Because in comparison to that life, this life is not even a drop in the ocean. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, Hujjatul Islam, he says that if the space between the earth and the heavens was to be filled with pebbles, and if after every 1,000 years a pebble was to be removed, so imagine the number of pebbles that this space would contain. Millions, billions, trillions, innumerable, uncountable. And after every 1,000 years, a pebble is being removed. How long will it take to empty this space? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that a time will come when this space will become empty, but the life hereafter will not come to an end. There are two lives, this world and the hereafter. And we have two choices. Either we choose the worldly life, either we choose the worldly life and sacrifice all the pleasures of the hereafter. Or we choose the life hereafter and sacrifices all, not all the pleasures, all the unlawful pleasures of this world. If we choose the life of this world, and if we give preference to the pleasures of this world, and not lawful, unlawful pleasures of this world, if we give preference to the unlawful pleasures of this world, we will sacrifice all the pleasures of the hereafter. There will be no pleasure whatsoever in the hereafter, not a single pleasure. So those people who choose the unlawful pleasures of this world will be deprived of all the pleasures of the hereafter. And those people who sacrifice the unlawful pleasures of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the lawful pleasures of this world and all the pleasures of the hereafter. Those people who choose the life hereafter, those people who choose to give preference to the pleasures of the hereafter, they will not be deprived of the lawful pleasures of this world. It is permissible to marry. It is permissible to enjoy a married life. It is permissible to consume lawful food, lawful drinks. It is permissible to wear lawful clothing. It is permissible, remaining within the limits of Sharia, to have a good home, to have a good car. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not deprived His servants of anything in this world. Shaitan and nafs, they make it look to an ordinary human, to an ordinary Muslim, that if I follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will have no pleasures in this world. So an ordinary Muslim, especially a young person growing up in this Western society, who is in his early teens, mid-teens, late teens, who is attending school, college, university, or otherwise, who is looking for pleasure, who is looking for pleasure, because it is natural for the nafs of a human to be inclined to so many lawful and unlawful things when a person is young. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, "Ash-shababu shu'batun min al-junun." Ash-shabab, youth. Youth is a department of insanity. A person becomes insane, intoxicated with the vigor of youth. He does not realize what he is doing. And all those people who have passed this phase of youth, after passing this phase of youth, when they look back at their youth, they have many regrets. I wish I did not do this. I wish I did this.
I wish I could go back to when I was 20 and when my father was advising me regarding my marriage, and I wish I could listen to my father and follow his guidelines. I wish I could do this, I wish I could do this, I wish I could have done this. We all go through this phase, the phase of youth where we make mistakes, and then the phase after youth where we reflect on the mistakes of our youth and we regret. We regret. But there is nothing we can do. After a time has passed, there is nothing we can do. But there are intelligent people, clever people, who always worry about the life hereafter, who always worry about the pleasures of the hereafter, who always look at the principles of Sharia, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they don't take these principles, these guidelines, these laws are as burden. They take it as a blessing. These principles, these guidelines, these laws are a blessing for me because they prevent me from making those mistakes which I will regret in my afterlife, in this world or the hereafter. So these are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do this, don't do this. These do's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these don'ts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not something cruel. It is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves His servants from destruction in this world and destruction in the hereafter. These people who are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follow the Sharia. They follow the Sharia. They always let the intellect rule their emotions. And they always let the Sharia rule their intellect. If there is a clash between emotions and intellect, they will always give preference to the faculty of intellect. And if there is a clash between the faculty of intellect and Quran or Hadith or Sharia, they will always give preference to the Sharia or the Quran or the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This group of people are safeguarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all regrets. Regrets in this world and regrets in the hereafter. So my friends, we have a choice to make. This world or the hereafter. This world compared to the hereafter is nothing. This world compared to the hereafter is nothing. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Faghfir lil ansari wal muhajira. The muhajirin and the ansar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, are digging the trench before the battle of trench. And when 10, 15, 20, 30 people get together and they are doing some hard work, then in those days, in the Arab world and even nowadays in third world countries, when poor people do very hard work, then they sing some songs to make the work easy for them. So the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain, after accepting Islam, after coming into the company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after being nourished by his words of wisdom, their whole system had changed. So they were digging the trench, and whilst digging the trench to make the work easy, they started reciting certain couplets, as was the norm. But the couplets had changed now. They were saying, نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا على الجهاد ما بقينا أبدا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم also joined them. And he started digging.
He would not only order the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain to carry out a particular task.
Allahu Akbar. Look at the equality. And imagine for a few moments, my brothers, the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. His status. His status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath of his life in the glorious Quran. لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَرُونَ.
By your life, I swear by your life. I take oath of your life. La'amruk.
Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the power. And through this gift that Allah granted me, I looked very carefully at each and every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the universe.
قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. I have seen all the angels, I have seen all the humans. It is I who brought wahi to Adam alayhi salam and to you and to all the Anbiya between the two of you. I have seen each and every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jinns, the humans, the angels, through the qudrat that Allah has given me. It is a gift from Him, it is He who gave me this power. And through that I have seen everything. And my conclusion is, فَلَمْ أَرَى رَجُلًا أَفْضَلَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. My eyes have not witnessed anyone more better and virtuous than you. You are the best. You are the best in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are unique. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself says, أَنَا أَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ أَنَا أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ أنا أعلمكم بالله وأخشاكم لله. A person can acquire status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through amal. And a person's amal depends upon his ilm. If he fully practices what he knows, then if he has 50% ilm, and if he follows all the ilm that he knows, he will not be able to follow the full Sharia because he has knowledge of only 50% of Sharia. So in his life you will only find 50% of Deen. He himself is practicing the whole Deen according to what he knows. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is following only half Deen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا عَالَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ. I am that person who has the most knowledge in the creation of Allah. Who has the most knowledge. And وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهُ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهُ. I am that person who has the most amal in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am the highest in amal, I am the highest in ilm. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majmu'in say, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ. He was the most generous. وَأَشْجَعَ النَّاسِ. He was the most courageous. وَأَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ. He was the most handsome. وَأَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. He was the greatest worshipper. You take any quality that is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you compare anybody with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will always be higher in that quality. Despite being so great, because he had all the qualities reaching the highest peak, he was the greatest in humbleness also. He was the greatest in humbleness. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in said that sometimes when he used to walk out of the masjid, going somewhere, or coming from somewhere to the masjid or to his home, then any ordinary old lady of Madina Munawwara would stop him whilst he is walking and say, "Oh Muhammad, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you stop for a while? I would like to have a word with you." And never did he say in his life, "I am busy at the moment, make appointment and come afterwards." Allahu Akbar. And my friends, this was possible only for him, because Allah had given lot of barakah in his time. If a person tries to emulate him in this day and age, it will not be possible. It will not be possible for a person to carry out in 24 hours the tasks that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to carry out. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, when he used to enter my home, somebody said, "Oh Aisha, can you tell us something about the private life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Private life. Now such a busy person. Nowadays, those of us who live a very busy life, we go in the home very quickly and we say to the wife, "Can you take out food quickly, because I've got to attend the program. I'm only 10 minutes late." Rush, 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 rush. Such personality who is so busy that within a lifespan of 23 years, he was to complete the Sharia that would fulfill the needs of humanity to come until the day of Qiyamah. In 23 years, he was to teach verbally and practically to his Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. In those days when there were no recording facilities, to teach them verbally and practically each and everything that the humanity was going to require until the day of Qiyamah. Imagine how busy he must have been. But the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted in his life. So somebody said, "Oh Aisha, can you let us know about his private life, how he used to behave when he was with you?" Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "Kana fi mihnati ahlihi. Kana basharun minal bashar." Allahu Akbar. When he used to enter my home, he used to behave like an ordinary human being. He did not behave like a big sheikh, that "I am the Sayyidul Mursaleen." No, he used to behave with us like a normal, ordinary human being. And وَكَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He would engage himself in the course of his home. He would help his wife in doing the work in the home. And as soon as he used to hear the adhan, he would leave everything and go to the masjid. So these were his two life patterns. When he is engaged with the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be fulfilling the rights of the makhluk. And when the call used to come from the Khaliq, he used to immediately attend to the call of Khaliq. And he used to fulfill the rights of the Khaliq. Fulfilling the rights of Khaliq, fulfilling the rights of makhluk. So any ordinary lady would say, "I would like to speak to you for a moment." And never did he say, "No, I cannot talk to you at this moment." There are incidents where the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in say, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi Alayhi has quoted this hadith in his Sahih, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wa Sallam is coming towards the masjid, and he has entered the masjid, and all the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in are awaiting his arrival so that the Salat can commence, and somebody stops him. And somebody says, "I would like to speak to you for a while." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam begins to listen to him. So he communicates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guides, communication continues, until the people who are sitting in the masjid for their Isha Salat begin to doze off. This is how much time he gave to that person. But at the same time knowing that I am not causing any inconvenience to the people who are waiting for me. There has to be equilibrium between the rights of two parties. He knew that the people who are waiting for Salat, I am not causing them any inconvenience. They would not feel hurt if I delay the Salat.
He continued to listen and he solved his problem, and then he came to the musalla and he began to lead the salah. He says that when I am leading the salah, Allahu Akbar, imagine his salah, my friends. Imagine the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, once the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, who was sitting behind him in the first row, they saw him move a couple of steps forward. And then they saw him move a couple of steps behind. So after the salat, they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My friend, the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, the whole ummah is indebted to them. Why? Because they were at all times concerned about learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and conveying the same to the ummah, to the future generations. Anything new they saw, they would ask, they would question. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged those people who are learning from someone to ask questions. As-su'al nisful ilm. Question is half of knowledge, because when you question, then you will get to know the answer. As long as the question is decent, as long as the question is fruitful, as long as there is an objective to the question. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, O Messenger of Allah, today we have seen something which we have never seen before. In salat you moved a couple of steps forward and then you moved a couple of steps back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whilst I was performing salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened all the veils between me and Jannah. Allahu Akbar. When I saw Jannah, I moved a couple of steps forward. As soon as I moved a couple of steps forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the situation, and there I saw Jahannam in front of me, so I moved a couple of steps behind. The person who is observing Jannah, observing Jahannam, imagine his concentration in his salah. And imagine the enjoyment that he must have experienced in salah. Imagine the enjoyment. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhkurullah ala kulli ahyani. The condition of the heart and mind of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that not a single second passed in his life in which he did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every second he was continually in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have read a hadith in which it is stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout his life, this was his zikr, heart and mind, zikr of heart and mind. His heart and mind was continually in the battlefield. His heart and mind was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is eating, his heart and mind was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is speaking, he is smiling, his heart and mind was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the highest form of dhikr, the dhikr and the remembrance of the heart and mind. The heart and mind. And with the heart and mind, if the tongue also engages in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is nurun ala nur. It is light over light, double light. Heart and mind is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have our human needs. So all the times the tongue cannot engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, La yazalu lisanuka ratbam min dhikrillah. Make sure your tongue remains moist with the remembrance of Allah. Make sure your tongue remains moist with the remembrance of Allah. But it is not possible. Because if we are shop owners, then when we are selling, we cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to talk about the good that we are trying to sell. If we go to the shop and we want to buy something, we cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. So the best form of dhikr is with the heart, mind and the tongue. Then number two, with the heart and mind. And number three, heart and mind is somewhere else and the tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the lowest form of dhikr. Lowest form of dhikr. But the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, my friends, that even if the heart and mind is absent and the tongue is being granted the tawfiq to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a great blessing also.
That is a great blessing.
Our filthy tongue, the tongue which engages in ghibah, backbiting, in tuhma, in slandering, in swearing, in lying, in cheating, that filthy tongue being given the tawfiq to say Allah, that filthy tongue being given the tawfiq to say Subhanallah, that filthy tongue being given the tawfiq to say Alhamdulillah, this is the great blessing of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And who knows, this Allah, this Subhanallah, this Alhamdulillah, only this one word, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allah may become the means of our life changing for the better. It happens, my friend. Sometimes a person says Alhamdulillah, and only that Alhamdulillah becomes the means of all his life changing for the better. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, tamla'ul mizan. Subhanallah, tamla'ul mizan. When a person says Subhanallah, when the person says Subhanallah, then the reward that Allah grants him for saying Subhanallah only is so much that it will fill the whole scale. And what is the size of scale? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the size of the scale through which the amal will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah is so big, that if all the seven heavens and the seven earths were to be put in that scale, it would not be able to fill the scale. That big scale, when a person says Subhanallah, Subhanallah, just the word Subhanallah, the reward a person gets is enough to fill that scale. So, when a person remembers Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with the heart and mind and with the tongue, it is something very great. So a person should try to remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with his heart, with his mind and with the tongue. And if the tongue becomes busy in something, then the heart and mind should be constantly in the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And if we are habituated to reciting a particular formula of dhikr through the tongue, with the absence of our mind and heart, then do not look down upon this amal. This is also great, because Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib, Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi Alayhi, or Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, Nawwarallahu Markazahu, used to say that when a person utters the name of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala through his tongue, with whatever form of negligence, with how much negligence he may be in, total negligence, there is no concentration whatsoever. But Hazrat says that when a person utters the name of Allah through his tongue, then this utterance will definitely have an effect on his heart. And sooner or later, with the tongue, his heart will be also become engaged in the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, the grandfather of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, and the father of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He says, Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, says that we learnt Bukhari Sharif from Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was the teacher of the likes of Shaykh Shabbir Ahmed Usmani and Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi, Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi Majma'in. So Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib says that we experienced throughout his lectures of Bukhari, throughout the year, whole year, that whenever we used to attend his class, we used to hear two things. One is his tongue explaining Bukhari Sharif, and his heart pumping the name of Allah throughout. Explanation of Bukhari Sharif from the tongue. So when the tongue used to become busy in something else, then the heart and mind used to continue with the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And it is this remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that is required to save oneself from disobedience to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's concentration throughout his life, not a single second passed where he became negligent of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that regarding Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, any Nabi, he was the Sayyidul Mursaleen, but any Nabi, it is the unanimous opinion of the ulama, all the ulama, that when a Nabi goes to sleep, his sleep does not invalidate his wudu. Why? Because a Nabi, even during his sleep, does not become neglectful of the remembrance of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ عَيْنَيَّ تَنَامَانِ وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي. إِنَّ عَيْنَيَّ تَنَامَانِ, my physical eyes go to sleep. When I sleep, my physical eyes go to sleep. وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي, my heart does not go to sleep. My heart is always in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, if a Nabi sees a dream, then for a Nabi it is wahi. Because his heart is awake and it is receiving the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is for this reason, if a Nabi is sleeping, it is not permissible for a member of the Ummah to wake him up. Because it is possible that at that very moment he is communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never woken by any of the companions throughout his life. He used to wake up himself only. So imagine his concentration when he is performing salah. Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Sahib, Ganj Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi, he is saying that when I prostrate and when I put my forehead in sajda, I find so much enjoyment that I do not feel like lifting my head from sajda. So people ask him that what enjoyment do you get when you go to sajda? You get so much enjoyment. So Hazrat Maulana said that when I put my forehead in sajda, at that time I feel as if I have put my head in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving me like a mother loves a child. So I find so much enjoyment at that time that I do not feel like lifting my head up from sajda. If this was the condition of the awliya, rahimahumullah ta'ala, then what was the condition of the salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he says that when I am performing salat, then during salat, I find my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so strong that I desire to lengthen my salah. I desire to lengthen my salah. I make the intention of lengthening my salah when suddenly I hear a small baby crying in the masjid. Now when I hear the small baby crying in the masjid, the thought enters my mind that the mother must be performing salah, and its child is crying, and this must be causing the mother anxiety. So despite all my desire to lengthen the salah, I have mercy upon the mother and I shorten my salah and I complete my salah quickly. This is the feeling he had for the other people. He was down to earth. So much humbleness, so much feeling, so much compassion, so much mercy. So he used to join in with the companions Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. The companions Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in would say to him that, O Messenger of Allah, we are enough for this task. We are enough for this work. But he used to say no. He used to say, the comment he used to make, Hazrat Abu Lubaba and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma were made his partners when the Sahaba traveled to Badr. There were less number of horses, less number of camels, and 313 Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in approximately traveled to the field of Badr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam counted the animals and accordingly he made partners. So when he made three partners each, he said, Ali and Abu Lubaba will be my partners. He did not say that because I am the biggest Hazrat here, I will ride the animal from here right to Badr. No, he said, I am equal. Because he was an example for the people to come until the day of Qiyamah, my friends. And no pride whatsoever. Allahu Akbar. No pride whatsoever. Look at the hikmah and the wisdom and the intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala said, we said, O Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, the three of us have right upon this means of conveyance. Upon this mount, upon this animal, the three of us have right. If we both give you our right, then there is no problem. So let the two of us walk and you ride the animal from Madina Munawwara right to Badr. We are giving you our haq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And look at his humbleness. He did not say that I am doing this out of humbleness or oh no, it doesn't look nice or no. He said the two of you are not more stronger than me. He said, you two are not more stronger than me. And I am in as much need of sawab as you two are. Look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you were physically more stronger than me, then okay, it was fine. But no, you are not stronger than me. We are all equal. You are human, I am human. You will get tired, I will get tired. I will get tired, you will get tired. We are equal. And he said that I am in need of sawab as much as you two are. So if you want to give this sacrifice by walking up to Badr, then I also want to be part of that sacrifice. So that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah grants you the ajr, I am also equally sharing the same ajr. And he put it so beautifully. He did not say that, no, I am thinking about you, you will get tired. No. He put it as if he was muhtaj. He was in need. He did not let the Sahaba feel under any kind of burden at all. That we are indebted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for being so affectionate to us. Now this equality, these stories, we are not aware of these stories, so we cannot convey to other people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also joined in with the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, digging the trench. So he had gone off for a while, and when the Sahaba restarted digging the trench, they said, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَخِينَا أَبَدًا. It was possible that all of them were singing together, or one group was saying, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا. The other was saying, عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَخِينَا أَبَدًا. It was possible that all of them were saying the whole together, or half-half. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered and he also started digging. He also began digging. When he began digging, he also joined in. But he joined in with his own couplet. So the Sahaba was saying, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَكِينَا أَبَدًا. They were all singing together. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَكِينَا أَبَدًا. We are those people. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ. We are those people who have made allegiance upon the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَكِينَا أَبَدًا. That for as long as we are alive, we will continue to strive for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا. We are those people who have made allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have made this promise and agreement. عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَكِينَا أَبَدًا. That for as long as we are alive, we will strive for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will strive individually. We will strive collectively, we will strive whenever the deen demands us to strive. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very happy when he heard these couplets. So he also joined in, he was digging. So when they said, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِينَا أَبَدًا, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللَّهُمَّ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhira. Oh Allah, there is only one life and that is the life of hereafter. This is the point I want to put forward. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhira. Oh Allah, these people are so loyal to me that they have made an agreement that we will strive as much as we are required to strive for the sake of deen. For as long as we are alive, we will strive whenever there is a need. Oh Allah, they are so loyal that they continue to repeat these words, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَكِينَا أَبَدًا. If they are so loyal to me, then I should make dua for them, because I cannot repay them for this loyalty. So the dua that I am making to you is, اللَّهُمَّ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ. Oh Allah, there is only one life and that is the life of hereafter. So therefore, I am not going to ask for them I am not going to ask for them anything that is related to this world, because it is useless. It is not even life. So I will ask you that if any of them makes any mistake in this world, and if they find any difficulty in the hereafter, then forgive them and grant them Jannah. فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ So friends, this life is very, very short. Very short life. The real life is the life hereafter. The real life is the life hereafter. And only that person will be classified as an intellectual or clever who sacrifices this life for the life hereafter, who sacrifices the desires of this world in order to acquire the pleasures of the hereafter. And that person who sacrifices the pleasures of the hereafter for the unlawful pleasures of this world, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is not intellectual. He does not have aql. Because these very people, when they will go in the fire of Jahannam, they will say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيدِ If we had any intellect at all, we would not have burned today in the fire of Jahannam. We are here because we had no aql. We did not have the faculty of aql, faculty of intellect. And because we did not have aql, we could not take the correct decision that one should sacrifice this worldly pleasures for the life hereafter. We did the opposite because we did not have aql. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. That person is clever who controls his desires and makes preparation for the life after death. So the real life is the life hereafter. The real life is the life hereafter. This life is not a life. We are just passing through. We are just passing through. Only a few moments we will pass in this world. Only a few moments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran that on the day of Qiyamah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask all of us, Kam labistum fil ardi adada sineen. Now some of us would have stayed here for 50 years, some for 90 years, some for 100, some for more than 100, majority of us between 60 to 70, and the people of the past 1000 years, 2000 years, 3000 years, 500 years, 800 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask everybody, Kam labistum fil ardi adada sineen? How long have you lived on earth? The answer will be, Labisna yawman aw ba'da yawm. One day or part of a day. One day or part of a day. Because the day of Qiyamah will be so long that only in comparison to the day of Qiyamah they will feel that the worldly life was only one day. So if we compare this worldly life with the day of Qiyamah and then the Pul Sirat and then the everlasting life to come, it does not hold any significance whatsoever. So let us not sacrifice the pleasures of the everlasting life for the unlawful pleasures of a few moments. A few moments. A few moments, my friends. If we are to live in this world for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and let us think for a moment, let us just assume for a moment, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, God, all of us, let us just assume that somebody reaches the age of puberty, age of bulugh, 15 years old. So from 60, from 60, 15 is gone, so only 45 is left. Now if you minus all the sleeping time, if you minus all the time that you spend in relieving yourself, if you minus all the time that you spend in fulfilling your human necessities, eating, drinking, having bath, and if you just put together only those moments where you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put together all those moments. How long does it take for a person to consume alcohol and enjoy alcohol? 1 hour? 2 hours? 3 hours? Enjoyment is only for a few minutes. Once he is intoxicated, he forgets everything. So there is no pleasure and there is no anxiety. So that is not enjoyment. Adultery, fornication, 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. All these enjoyments that a person is able to fulfill during his lifespan of 60-70 years, Put all those times together. It will not be more than a few months, my friends. It will not be more than a few months. So we are not asking anybody to give a sacrifice of 60 years in total. In reality, we are asking people to give sacrifice of a few moments only, a few weeks only, a few months only. And in return of that sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the everlasting pleasures of the hereafter. And if a person is not prepared to give this sacrifice of a few weeks or a few months, then because of these a few weeks or a few months, that person is prepared to sacrifice the everlasting pleasures in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. For you in Jannah will be all those ni'mats, all those blessings which your hearts will desire. And for you in Jannah will be all those blessings which you will ask for. The commentators of the Quran have mentioned that the mu'mineen will be divided into two categories. Category number one, those who strove in this world and who gave sacrifices in this world in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they abstained from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that was haram, and they carried out everything that was made compulsory and fard, everything that was made incumbent and wajib, and they continued until they breathed their last. And you have another group, that did not only abstain from committing sins, that did not only carry out the compulsory and incumbent and sunnah muakkada actions, but they also carried out lot of optional prayers, lot of optional ibadah, lot of optional fasting. They did not only give zakah, they spent a lot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in building masajid, in building madaris, in digging wells, in helping poor, orphans, destitute, needy. So with the faraiz and with the wajibat, they did lot of nafal actions as well. So two categories, high category, low category, both will go in Jannah direct, without going in the fire of Jahannam. But one is of a higher category, the other is of a lower category. Those of a lower category, whenever they will require anything, they will have to ask. They will have to say, Oh Allah, give us this. Oh Allah, give us this. Oh Allah, I want this. And those of the higher category, they will not even have to utter with their tongues anything. The thought will come in their hearts and minds, and there the blessing will be in front of them. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسَكُمْ. For you in Jannah will be all that your hearts will desire. And for you in Jannah will be all that you will ask for. So these are two categories. Category number one, for you will be in Jannah all that your hearts desire. And category number two, for you in Jannah will be all that you will ask for. نُزُولًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. Both these groups will be guests, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the host. Allah will be the host, will be the guest. Imagine the enjoyment, my friends. Imagine the enjoyment. So we have two lives. We have two lives. The life of this world, the life of hereafter. And we have two choices. Either we give preference to the worldly life and sacrifice the pleasures of the hereafter, or we give preference to the pleasures of the life hereafter and we sacrifice the unlawful pleasures of this world. Now the choice is ours. The choice is ours. If we sacrifice the unlawful desires of this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us everlasting Jannah in the hereafter. And if we give preference to the unlawful desires of this world, then my friend, in the hereafter there will be nothing for us. There will be nothing for us. So the choice is ours. And every mu'min, every believer will come to this conclusion, that the choice that I need to make today, at this very moment, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between Salatul Asr and Salatul Maghrib, a very blessed time, in a very blessed gathering where there are a good number of ulama, good number of pious people, good number of old people with grey beards, upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks with mercy. And there are a good number of young people, youth, who are very, very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this gathering, my friend, we have to make this choice, and we have to make a firm resolution that we have made the right choice, and from today, every second will be spent in becoming successful in the choice that we have made. And that is, from today, we will sacrifice the unlawful desires of this world, and we will acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the everlasting pleasures of the hereafter. Friends, if we are able to do this, then our final moments will be very good. If we are able to do this, our grave will be very nice. It will become a garden. If we are able to do this, our judgment on the day of Qiyamah will be very nice. If we are able to do this, Pul Sirat will be very easy. If we are able to do this, we will be able to safeguard ourselves from the fire of Jahannam. And we will be granted direct entry into Jannah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tamutuna kama tahyawna. You will die according to the life that you have lived. If you lived a life of piety, you will die a death of piety. If you have lived a life of sinning, then you will die a death of sinning. And tuhsharuna kama tamutuna. You will be resurrected in the way you have died. So you will die in the way you have lived. You will be resurrected in the way you have died. If you have died singing, you will be resurrected singing. If you have died watching television, you will be resurrected watching television. If you have died committing adultery and fornication, you will be resurrected committing adultery and fornication. If you have died backbiting, you will be resurrected backbiting. The way we live, that is the way we will die. And the way we die, that is the way we will be resurrected. So we need to make this choice very quickly. And after making this choice, make a firm resolution and live our lives according to the wishes of the Creator. Sacrifice our unlawful desires in this world. If we do this, my friend, then our life will be according to the pleasure of Allah, according to the wishes of Allah. And if our life is according to the wishes of Allah, then our death will be according to the wishes of Allah. And if our death is according to the wishes of Allah, يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. A person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah in the state that he has died. Let us very briefly glance through a few incidents of our pious predecessors. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Last moments have come. Those people around him say that before his soul departed, we saw Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu stretch out his hands as if he is shaking hands with somebody. He stretched out his hands to shake hands with somebody, and that was the final action of his life, and he fell. So the Malakul Maut came and he shook hands with him and he departed from his soul. Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Final moments. The type of life you live, that is how you die, my friends. Final moments, Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, the last words that he said, O Allah, the pain in this heart is only your pain. That means the pain that I'm experiencing is the pain of departure from you. I love you so much, I want to meet you quickly. O Allah, the pain that I am experiencing here is only your pain. By your honor, I love you. And his soul departed. By your honor, I love you, and his soul departed. Hazrat Shaykhul Adiz, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Final moments. Ya Allah, Ya Kareem. Ya Allah, Ya Kareem. Ya Allah, Ya Kareem. And the soul departed. Rabia Bisriya, Rahmatullahi Alayha. She is on her deathbed, surrounded by so many people who are there to look after her. Very pious lady. And she said, but can everybody leave the room for a while? Everybody left the room. And they were waiting outside the room for her to call them back in again. And after a few moments, everybody heard Someone recite, Ya ayyatuha nafsu al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbi, radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati.
Now this was not the voice of Rabi'a Bisriya rahmatullahi alayha.
Ya ayyatuha nafsu al-mutma'inna. They heard in the room that somebody is saying, and the Quran says that when the malaika come to extract the soul of that person who is pious, then they say this, Ya ayyatuha nafsu al-mutma'inna, oh the pure soul, irji'i ila rabbi, return to your Rabb, radiyatan mardiyya, he is very happy with you and he will make you happy as well. Fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati, Allah says that come and join my servants, and Allah says come and enter in my Jannah. The people rushed into the room. Rabi'a Bisriya rahmatullahi alayha had departed. Look at the death of these people. Muhaddis Abu Zura'a rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great muhaddis. Throughout his life he spent teaching people ahadith. The type of life that you spend, that is the type of death that will come to you. So last moments and he is unconscious, so the people around him are trying to make him recite the kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. But he is unconscious. So one of his very clever and intelligent student arrives and he says, Hazrat, can you narrate the hadith for us? The hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person upon whose tongue the last words are La ilaha illallah, that person directly goes in Jannah. So the student came and he said, Hazrat, can you narrate this hadith to us? Wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah. So he opened his eyes and he said, my teacher said to me that his teacher said to him, and he said that his teacher said to him, and he said that the Sahabi said to him, and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. He could not even complete the hadith. He reached Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, and his soul departed. Soul departed with the kalima and part of the hadith. I always say to my friends that there may have been many incidents throughout the world where people may have departed with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But a person will not find such an incident where a person is reciting the kalima while mentioning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he departs. Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, and instead of saying dakhala al jannah, the person who says la ilaha illallah last, he entered Jannah. Instead of saying that, he actually went into Jannah. The type of life that we spend, my brother, that is what we will experience at the time of death. If we gaze at non-mahram ladies here and there, at the time of death, that is what will come in front of us. If we spend all our time buying, selling, without looking at halal, haram, without looking at time of salat, without seeing the harms of interest, dealing, then at the time of death, that is what will come. That is what will come. I have heard an incident from a very authentic source that in India, there were two people who were meeting each other privately. Nobody knew about it. Nobody, male, female, meeting each other. Nobody knew about it. When did people come to know? They met and Malakul Maut came to both of them at that very moment. After their death, people came to know that these two people were in love with each other. They were in the act of adultery when Malakul Maut arrived and extracted the soul of both of them. If we live a life of sin, we will die a death of sin. And if we live a life of obedience, we will die a death of obedience. Hazrat Maulana Riza Ajmeri Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the people of Gujarat are familiar with him. I have heard from a very authentic source that in his final moments he was on his deathbed and he said to the people around him that Malakul Maut is here and I am about to depart. He is extracting my soul. He has his full grip on my ruh. And he has taken out my ruh, and my ruh has reached the anchor. It has reached the anchor. We learn from various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that when the Malakul Maut comes to extract the ruh of the dying person, then when the Malakul Maut extracts the ruh, then that ruh holds the toes very tightly. And somehow the Malakul Maut pulls the ruh and extracts it from this part, so the ruh gets a good grip when it comes to this ankle joint. And then he extracts it from there again, then it gets hold of this joint here and it refuses to come out. Because it is seeing all the punishment of the hereafter. Then up to here. And then slowly Malakul Maut extracts it and then it departs. It is for this reason that in many cases we see the body shaking. Because it is like a tug of war. The ruh is refusing to leave the body and the Malakul Maut is adamant to take the ruh with him at its appointed time. Now in the case of a very pious person, it is the opposite. It is the opposite. Because sometimes you see very pious people, their bodies also shake a lot. The opposite, when the ruh sees all the ne'mats of Jannah, then the ruh wants to depart from the body, but because the time has not come, so the angel is somehow controlling the ruh. That is why the body shakes. So Hazrat Maulana Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, now it has come up to the ankles, now it has come up to the knees, now it has come up to the hips. And he said, now it's moving and it's come up to my chest and it will depart any moment. All of you bear witness, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he departed. These are the type of people who were in this world, my friends. Before I conclude, let me quote another incident. Ibn al-Farid Naqshbandi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great saint. Final moments, he is on his deathbed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened all the veils between him and Jannah, and he saw Jannah. And he saw that 8 doors of Jannah are open for him. But my friends, these people were real people. These people were the real mu'minin. When he saw Jannah in front of him with all the 8 doors open, he turned his face away from Jannah. And he said, إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ مَنْزِلَتِي فِي الْحُبِّ عِنْدَكُمْ مَا قَدْ رَأَيْتُ فَقَدْ ضَيَّعْتُ عُمْرِي. I have loved you throughout my life. And it was your love which was the base of my struggling and striving throughout my life. So I have loved you throughout my life. And if my status in your eyes is only this, that you are showing me your Jannah, then I have wasted my life. Because I was not doing everything for Jannah, I was doing it for you, I want to see you.
Allahu Akbar.
At the time of death, when Jannah is in front of him, he turns his face away and he said that if this is what you are giving me in return of my striving in your love, then I have wasted my life. It is not this. So everything closed again. And after a while he saw a very small light and his ruh departed from this world. So friends, let us make sure from today that we give preference to the life hereafter and control your desires. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, ask Him to grant you steadfastness, and thereafter remain firm until you breathe your last. May Allah grant me the tawfiq and grant all of you the tawfiq. In order to do this, in order to be able to do this, we need to stay in good company. We need to stay away from wrong company. We need to stay away from wrong environments. We need to stay in the environment of the masjid. We need to stay with pious people. We need to sit in the company of ulama, of mashayikh. We need to take out some time
leave our homes and take part in those activities which bring in our lives the awareness of qabr, awareness of the hereafter, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do this, my friends, then giving preference to the life hereafter and crushing our desires will become easy. And once we are able to crush our desires, the Shaykh Sadi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Jannat is only two steps away. Take the first step, put it on your desires, crush it, and your second step will be in Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله على خير خلقه.